Hey gang, and welcome to the Meddling Kids Podcast, a review of all things Scooby-Doo, except not for today. I'm Stephen Pappas.
And I'm Julie Kinn. Today we're celebrating the end of Season 1 of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? By talking about a Scooby-inspired adventure movie, Goonies, which Stephen had never seen before, and now he has. So, Stephen?
Okay. There's no answer, I feel like, right or wrong, that is going to not make people angry.
Well, okay, let me just pause before we jump in. What we'll do today is we're not going to give you the entire blow-by-blow recap of Goonies. We're just going to talk generally about it. Recommend you all see it for the experience. And then we'll talk about some other Scooby-Doo tangential stuff. Okay, so do you mind me turning over to you, Stephen, and just asking, overall, was it an enjoyable experience for you?
At first, I had a moment where I was like, what have I gotten myself into? This is 2 hours?
It's a long movie, especially for the 1980s.
And for a children's movie.
Yeah.
Or what, well, I imagine was a... Is it a children's movie?
Okay, so there were some aspects... Okay, well, I don't think so. I think this movie had so many things that are not for kids. Upskirts, penis jokes,
yeah.
Lots and lots of cursing. But
so did The Sandlot.
Okay, fair. All right, so why don't I give just a brief description of movie to help people understand what the heck we're talking about in case they've never seen Goonies. Okay, so first of all, this is a staple of my childhood. I was born in 77, so this movie was like prime. I mean, we watched this over and over and over as a kid. It's about children who defeat a small town and prevent a town from resurging in growth and destroy property and break and enter.
Yes. That seems like most of the plot.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, there's one family whose parents have not been paying their bills. They seem to be going to work, but apparently haven't been paying the bank back for the house that they live in, which is not fair, especially since this town that they live in on the Goondocks on the coast of a Pacific Northwest town, probably Oregon coast, but potentially Washington, is clearly suffering. The bank has decided, hey, you know what? These people haven't been paying their mortgage. They owe us this money. What we should do is use this property instead to build a golf course that can benefit the entire community. Which to me seems like a great idea. This town, clearly not very well kept. There's not even like guardrails on the roads that oversee cliffs and passes to the point where children fall off of these cliffs and passes. There's a lot of theft. There's tons and tons of just abandoned properties with really dangerous aspects to it.
You're on the side of the villains.
Yeah, the villains in this movie are not villains. People, you have to pay your mortgage. You can't just go to the bank and be like, hey, help me buy this beachfront property. I promise I'll pay you back. And then not. And then say to the kids, oh, children, I'm sorry we have to move, and trick another bank into buying us property. But, oh well, what are you going to do? And so the children in this family are forced into a situation in which they must destroy a whole bunch of property, first in their own family's home, looking for things to sell to pay back the bank, which, you know, makes sense because, again, it's the bank's house, people. When you have a mortgage, you're supposed to actually pay it back. And then they go break into someone else's property, sneak around, destroy, like, historical landmarks and stuff, and ultimately find some gems from a very ancient historical landmark that they ostensibly, I think, use to pay back the bank so that they could stay there in their decrepit house instead of having a beautiful golf course that would benefit the entire community and help elevate this suffering town to be a destination town that, you know, would bring in tourism dollars. The end, the Goonies. But there were lots of other really nice aspects of the movie. I did have some favorites. Some favorite aspects. I thought maybe we could go through the things we liked and disliked about it and then talk about how it's similar and dissimilar to Scooby. So just like in the movie in general, what'd you like? Was there anything you liked?
Was there anything I liked? It was... Okay, so I never actually gave an answer.
Yeah.
I realize that now to the question. It was fine. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. You heard it here, folks.
Okay, so like everybody's built up this movie for my entire life of like, you haven't seen Goonies. You haven't seen the Goonies. It's the best children's movie ever. And it's you should have grown up with it. And it's so amazing. And so like I went into this with very high expectations, but also very low expectations. Because I've also heard that it doesn't hold up. And I will say, after watching it, like, it's cute. Like, it's a fun, like, 1980s romp. You have your standard cast of characters. You've got your Samwise Gamgee. You got your Donatello's voice from the Ninja Turtle movies before he got older. You've got your stereotypical Asian and very racially insensitive character. You've got your overweight character. You've got the older brother played by the guy that played old Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black 3. I know all their names, by the way. I know that Corey Feldman is not just the voice of Donatello and that
Sean Astin
is not Samwise Gamgee, but he will always be to me, including he's on the new season of Stranger Things and he's totally still Sam.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, Samwise. Samwise the Brave.
You're going to love him in Stranger Things, by the way.
Am I? I've only watched the first two episodes, everyone.
And we're going to get back to Stranger Things later.
Oh, we will. I've already... Yes. I have many thoughts on Stranger Things and this movie. You have a stereotypical cheerleader girl.
Yep.
And you also have, like, nerdy cheerleader girl friend, who I'm pretty sure is just Velma.
And okay, so that's the Stranger Things thing. I mean,
and Barb.
Barb
she's
from
totally
Stranger
Barb.
Things. It was the exact same pair of glasses, I'm convinced. And yeah, she's totally Barb.
Oh, and that would make I don't know her name in the Goonies.
Cindy Lauper lookalike. Well, because okay, so back in the day, like when this came out, there was Cindy Lauper has like a brief cameo in the movie.
Yes,
they show a video, and Cindy Lauper made a whole Goonies video that was on MTV at this time. I was not allowed to watch MTV as a kid, so it was something I had to secretly watch, like by having friends record it or something like that. But and then once we got cable, like I would sneak into my parents' room and watch it when they were out. So yes, Cindy Lauper was like major big league at this point, and so they found an actress who looked kind of like her to play the girl.
Okay. Yeah, so okay, things I liked. It was a lot of fun.
Good.
I had fun. Like, it was just a turn my brain off and enjoy just like popcorn type of movie.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't promise you anything like cerebral.
No, yeah, this was not, you know, like Being John Malkovich or something that I have to think about.
Memento.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, Chris Nolan was nowhere near this. And, you know, hot take. It said Steven Spielberg directed this?
Yeah, and actually one of the actors was in Memento. The one of the villains, not the good villains from the bank, but the brother who was theoretically wearing a toupee that kept getting pulled off, one of the Fratelli brothers.
Was that one in Memento?
Yeah,
I recognized him. I know that the other Fratelli brother is Robert Davi. And I recognized him from License to Kill, one of the James Bond movies from the 80s.
Right, yeah, he was a good villain.
He was very much more silly in this one. But
yes, lots of crotch jokes. Did you like the crotch jokes?
Well, you
crotch.
Know, I liked the penis jokes more. For instance, when they knocked over the Statue of David and his manhood broke off. And one of the kids goes, "My mom's going to kill us. That's my mom's favorite part." And I laughed because I'm a child.
Right. That's hilarious. Okay. That was like porn for us when we were kids. We were like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was rather filthy for what I assumed was a children's movie. And it might still be. But like, okay. So Steven Spielberg directed this.
Yeah.
So it is easily the better of the two, like, PG kind of kids movies that he did in the 80s, because hard stance, everyone knows this about me, E.T. is garbage, and I hate it so, 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 so much.
For someone who hates getting mail that is, like, deriding you, you would think you wouldn't, like, taunt our Twitter followers so much.
I'm not taunting. I'm just saying, if you're angry at me about it, talk to Julie. I've talked about it. We've talked about it on our podcast. And three of the four of us were all in agreement that E.T. is garbage. It's just not great. It doesn't hold up. He's just a little brown poo from outer space with a glowy finger who just, like, eats Reese's Pieces and scares children. And they had the scary men in the suits.
Have you had Reese's Pieces?
Reese's Pieces are great.
Thank you. Have you
ever? And they do not have chocolate, contrary to popular belief.
Okay, so did you know that the scene that they did with the doctors, they used an actual surgical team for that?
Really?
Yeah.
I knew that in the, like, later releases, they replaced the guns with, like, radios or walkie-talkies or something.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah, we studied that when I was researching how ER teams communicate to reduce medical mistakes. And, yeah, in ET, they actually used a real-life medical team because medical teams in real life don't work the way they do on TV. And so Spielberg wanted to bring in the real thing.
Hmm. ET is terrifying. And...
I didn't change his mind, folks.
No, you didn't change my mind. And here's why. Okay, let me take you back. Let's get in the way, way back machine.
Okay, I'm going to give you 2 minutes for this.
Okay. Julie doesn't want to do this podcast, guys. She's done. She wants to be done.
Oh, no, but please. Way, way back machine.
Okay, we're going to get in the way, way back machine. And I'm going to tell you a little story about a little boy named Steven who was at Universal Studios in Florida and went on the E.T. ride. And didn't understand that at the beginning of the ride, his parents had given his name to the people at the machine. So that as I'm riding by E.T. on the bike, E.T. goes, "Bye, Steven." And I just about peed in my pants because the creepy little monster knew my name. So all of this to say, Reese's Pieces are the only good thing about E.T.
All right. Continue. I'll allow it. Okay, so the things you didn't like about the movie, I'm guessing you've already mentioned some of those. So maybe we can come back to them.
The racially insensitive everything involving, I don't remember the character's name.
Data.
Wait, is his name Data?
His name's Data.
Okay, the only ones I remember were, I can't even remember Samwise Gamgee's name. That's why I'm calling him that. Mikey?
Yeah, is that- It was Mikey. Too much?
Okay, it is Mikey. It's not Stranger Things that's in my head.
No, it was Mikey. In Stranger Things, he's Bob. Yeah, Mouth. Chunk. Yeah. My least favorite things were all the fat jokes, first of all. I don't like the stereotype of the fat kid. That's, like, the one thing that I didn't show this movie to my kids, first of all, because I thought it'd be too scary for them because they're delicate snowflakes. But I did show them the trailer and let them to decide if they wanted to see it. But I also prepared them for, look, this movie is mean to fat people and people who are overweight and people who are bigger. And and so they get that sometimes older movies and older TV shows do that kind of thing and that it's not acceptable. But I really disliked it. That's one. So one of the things that's really similar to Scooby is just the emphasis on food and food motivation. And at least in the Scooby gang, it's like the thinnest, lankiest character who's constantly eating, you know, and the furriest. I didn't like that. I really enjoyed all the Jewish jokes. And as a Jewish person, I love when, like, it's not jokes about us being cheap or having horns or the other stereotypes. It was like one time at my bar mitzvah, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, oh, hey, someone else is Jewish. But why does it always have to be the dorkiest, least liked character who's Jewish?
Hold on. Did you say having horns?
Yeah. Are you not aware of that stereotype?
Like devil horns, like ram's horns. Like,
yep. People used to think that Jews had horns.
Sure, yep, that makes sense.
That's why we wear hats. Yep.
Well, that seems insensitive and terrible.
Yeah, it's also, I think, from Michelangelo's David, or from one of those statues that, he had rays of light sticking out from his head, and all of them had broken off except for two, so it made it look like horns, and for other, you know, and also just, it helps you demonize a group of people when you think they have horns.
Interesting.
It's not so common anymore.
Yeah. I had never heard that. That's really terrible.
Well, let me give you more stereotypes about my peoples. We also make great challah. Okay. Yeah, making fun of all the other ethnicities. But I will say that Data and his dad had the best reunion at the end.
It was cute.
So that was kind of nice. I mean, so Data is the young Asian actor. The actor himself is Vietnamese, but I don't know what language they were speaking. They had subtitles, but it wasn't clear. His shtick is that he's constantly making inventions, and some of them work great and some of them work terribly, and he's kind of obsessed with them. And he has a speech at one point in the movie where he's talking about, why is everyone always putting me down? Why are you always saying this is stupid? And that's never resolved. It's like this beautiful, heartfelt speech where he's really standing up to his friends who are bullying him, and no one does anything to make it any better. But at the very end, his dad has a similar invention that doesn't work very well, but then his dad hugs Data and says, my best invention is you. And that was just beautiful.
It was cute.
Yeah, the thing that I disliked the most was that they were all really mean to each other. Like, this isn't a supportive group. Like, I get once in a while people who love each other tease each other, and like, that could be your shared shtick. And, you know, like when you tell me I'm the worst, and when I make fun of you behind your back and say all sorts of things about you on Twitter, because I know you don't check Twitter very often.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All those kinds of things. And like how I am with my brothers. But like, this was like not loving. I mean, they were like really mean to each other. I don't know.
Hold on.
Maybe that didn't bother you. Okay.
They were mean. But
yeah.
I just went down a little bit of a rabbit hole.
Okay.
Data was short round?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I recognized him, but then I was like, that's probably not accurate, and I'm probably being insensitive. I should not... He was short round.
Yeah. Yeah, he had quite a good career.
Man, he got typecast hard, though.
I know. Yeah.
The 80s were harsh.
I know it. Okay, my favorite things, the villains. Like, first of all, just the Fratelli villains were so over the top. The mama from Throw Mama from the Train, she's amazing. I love that actress. And her sons were incredible. And of course, the villain Troy, like the cool kid who's just so over the top 80s boy villain. And how at the very end of the movie, when the people who are about to foreclose on the house are like, look, you've been avoiding paying for your house forever, it's time to sign the paper. And Troy's like, yeah, time to sign the paper. And it's like, dude, you're
he's just there.
He's just there.
Is that his dad? Like, it's never explained.
It's never explained. I think we're supposed to assume it's his dad, but I don't know. I love also, like, the scene of when the kids are underground messing with all the pipes, and you see a bunch of naked men in a country club trying to shower, and one of them has an eye patch just randomly.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened.
All of a sudden, like, the toilet and the showers are exploding, and again, it was just stupid and silly, but as a kid, oh my gosh, that was titillating.
As a grown man,
yes,
I laughed at the first one when the water fountain kept going up and down and just smacked that dude straight in the face. Like, that got me. The shower, I was like, all right, whatever.
So much physical humor. And I will admit, and this is why I'm glad I have my PhD so I don't sound like a total doofus, I love physical humor. I think it's hilarious, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
You shouldn't be.
My other favorite thing is that at the very end, Sloth, who's kind of like our character from... we called him from Which is Which. He's like this guy who clearly was born with deformities, and then his mom dropped him and things, and he turns into like a really nice guy who loves Chunk. Chunk at the end is like, you're going to go home with me, Sloth. And it's like, he doesn't ask his parents. He's like, hey, mom and dad, here's a grown man who's going to live with us now, like my pet, I guess. I don't know. That was hilarious. I love that.
What was his name? What was our friend's name?
Wasn't it Gary? No, I may be missing.
I don't think it was Gary. It might have been Gary, though. Who knows?
Who knows? Nobody knows, and there's no way to ever tell.
Nope. Somebody go back and listen to that, because I have to listen to it a lot when I edit, so you're in charge.
Okay, so what did you think about my premise that this is similar to Scooby-Doo?
I could see it in a lot of ways. First off, nerdy girl best friend at one point drops her glasses.
Yes!
And almost word for word says, like, my glasses. I can't see anything without my glasses. And I was like, oh, God.
Yep.
Oh, my God. It's happening. Who's who? That's Velma. Daphne,
yeah.
If we're... I mean, if we're assigning standard gender and sex to them, I guess Daphne would have to be the other girl.
And she does have red hair, and she's cute and stuff, and in a short skirt. I mean, it doesn't fit on point for point. I tried to spend some time doing that. Okay,
yeah,
so let's
Josh
leave
Brolin's character doesn't seem like a serial killer.
Right. I mean, I think Mikey is supposed to be Fred because he's the one who's like, come on, guys, let's keep going. And like just an adrenaline junkie. You know, he's the one who is just interested in continuing on. But it's also like the mouth is also kind of a Fred because he's constantly bossing everyone else around. And then I guess Chunk is supposed to be Shaggy in this theory because he's very food motivated. But Chunk could also be Scooby. But I think, frankly, Data is supposed to be Scooby because Data was always like getting out really weird stuff, like how Scooby all of a sudden has a medical kit to pretend that he's in a cast, just like Data all of a sudden has a cool invention and doesn't speak with perfect grammar. I don't know. It's not perfect.
It's okay. Every time you say his name, I can't help but think of Data from Star Trek The Next Generation. And that's all I can think of.
Well, I can't remember if they called him Data or Data. So, like, we scientists like to say Data. You know, a lot of people say Data, which is okay. You know, you're all right if you say Data. And that
was
definitely the name.
Star Trek, he was definitely Data.
He definitely was, which just shows that, you know, they didn't. Anyway, and, you know, I think, so that's why I'm going to keep calling him Data just because I can't remember. But anyway, one piece of Data would be Datum. Okay,
what?
That's just a side note.
Is that like alumni and alumnus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Data means plural. Okay, so yeah, they're funky kids breaking and entering terrible decisions. I think the love interests were really similar. There are like some similarities just in aspects just from the first season of Scooby-Doo Where Are You, like the piano playing to open up the cave. And you know, that was kind of similar. All the hijinks, like the chase scenes and the bad puns, some of the kids being really scared, you know, like Chunk being like, oh, I don't want to go in there, and everyone else forcing him in, or Chunk being like, hey, I saw a scary thing, and everyone else being like, none of your stories. Like, that's totally a Shaggy kind of thing. All the ethnocentrism was very similar.
Now,
uh-huh.
I remember something that really made me upset watching it.
Okay.
During that piano scene.
Oh, I know what you're going to say, and it destroyed me too as a kid. Yeah, tell
okay,
me.
So, wait, did it?
I did not like it. I remember this about the Goonies movie that I would always be like, that's not possible. Okay, what were you going to say?
Maybe we could be thinking of other things. So in the bone organ scene.
Bone organ.
She says she doesn't know if it's an A sharp or a B flat.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That's the same note.
Oh.
B sharp and A flat are the same, or A sharp and B flat are the same note.
Oh yeah,
on a piano. If
okay,
you look, A sharp, B flat, same note.
I never thought about that.
It drove me crazy. I was like, she's like, I don't know. It could be an A sharp or a B flat, and I was like, hit it.
Wow. If you don't hit it, we're all going to be flat, which is one of those terrible puns.
Oh yeah, maybe that's why they did it, just to set that up.
Maybe, but still, yeah, she should have said, why is it a B or a B flat? Yeah, so the thing I didn't like is that she said, I was 4 when talking about how she had piano lessons. And I was like, okay, that just establishes if you were a 4-year-old, you do not have the muscle memory or the ability to continue to read music later when you're 17. That does not make sense. Anyway, okay. All right. Well, I think that this movie does have a lot of similarities with Scooby-Doo, but it could just be... I don't want to say that it totally took everything from Scooby-Doo, although the glasses thing, I think, yes. And the red hair, I think possibly, although it could be a Cyndi Lauper thing. But it's also possible these are just general tropes of, you know, children's adventures. So I don't know, but I do have a game for us to play.
Ooh.
Because, like, on Is This Adulting, you know, Chris and you always do games, especially Chris, because he loves games. I have a game called... Loves games. Hold on, I gotta cough again because I'm still sick. Also, Mikey cures his own asthma He's like using an inhaler throughout, and I thought it was like a Chekhov gun. You know, Chekhov said, like, if there's a revolver in the first act, there better be fired by the third act.
It has to be fired by the third act, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's this inhaler Mikey's using. I'm like, oh, he's going to lose his inhaler, just like in that M. Night Shyamalan movie. You know, but no, he at one point was like, eh, who needs it? And tosses his inhaler aside, which now we know asthma is just not being strong enough.
Apparently.
Apparently. Okay.
I'll tell my wife.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell Olaf. Okay, so I'm gonna say some lines and you tell me who said it. Was it the Scooby Gang or the Goonie Gang?
Oh god. Okay. Okay.
And it could be villains too, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Put me back. I'll figure a way out myself. Like how? I don't know. I'll use my tongue as an oar and swim to the edge.
What?
Do you need me to say it again?
No, I just don't remember this line from anything ever.
Well, who does it sound more like?
It would sound more like the Goonies.
It was Daphne from...
What?
It was Daphne from some movie we haven't seen yet as part of our podcast.
Okay. It's not from season one. Okay.
No, I didn't think... Oh, yeah, sorry. Season one would have been so identifiable. Sorry, right. I went through the whole canon.
I see
canon.
How it is. Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's wet, ain't it? Wet. Sorry, I'm in the dark.
Also Goonies?
Yes, that was when the mom gave them like horrible brown looking water and their mouth is like, is this supposed to be water? It's wet, ain't it? Drink it.
Oh yeah, okay.
I'm glad they didn't drink it.
I did it. Okay. I win.
Okay. Why don't we go home?
Well, that's said on both at some point, I guarantee it. Let's say Goonies.
That is Goonies. I don't think they definitely didn't say why don't we go home in Scooby-Doo, because, you know, we don't actually have it established that they do have a home. Although, by the way, we never really talked about where does Goonies take place and where does Scooby take place, but it definitely could be a shared location. I know I'm just the dude that carries the bags, but it seems to me we all play an important part in this group.
Let's say Scooby.
Yeah, Shaggy says that apparently in some movie where he is much better, much more eloquent than he was in season one.
Yeah, I would say so.
I'm going to hit you so hard that when you wake up, your clothes will be out of style.
That is from the Goonies. I remember that line.
Who said that? I don't remember. It was
the brother.
Oh, the brother.
Josh Brolin, the older brother.
Well, why don't we just put chocolate all over the floor?
Scooby?
I know it sounds like it, right? No, that was one of the mean fat jokes. Or maybe they weren't making fun of him for being fat, but for being hungry all the time. They wanted to get down through the bottom of the shack, and so they theorized putting chocolate on the floor and Chunk would eat his way through.
Yeah, they did try to, like, bait him into things a lot. That's how they got into the restaurant. He's like, I got naked pictures of your mom or something.
Taking a bowel. Did you get that? Yeah,
no.
I didn't quite catch the pooping reference until I rewatched it as an adult. Yeah, so
I assumed it was just taking a bath. Okay.
Maybe it was.
Huh.
I might have totally misheard this. Maybe it was. That makes more sense because people don't say take a bowel. Okay, I'm guessing you're right. I'm really embarrassed that that's what I heard. That
There's
that was
been
like
some
my
freezing
schema.
Again.
Okay. Let's move on. Okay, last one. Hey, you guys.
Good times were had by all. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Was I lost?
Yeah, you were gone.
But now I'm found. Okay. Hey, you guys. This is the last one.
It's got to be both.
It's both. It's both. But okay. But here's my question for you, since you're young and probably won't know this, so I'm going to try to trick you into it. All us old people will know. Where does this exact quote come from? Hey, you guys.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Wait, from outside of the Goonies?
From outside of the Goonies. What was the Goonies referencing? And it's not referencing Scooby-Doo. It's referencing something very specific from that time period.
I have no clue.
The Electric Company, which was before cable. This was one of, like, the two shows we had. It was on, like, right... It was, like, Sesame Street for slightly older kids, and that's okay. how every episode started.
I've heard of the Electric Company. I just
didn't maybe know that. Tiff will get that one. Right, Tiff? You probably know what I'm talking about, right? Every time I say something, Tiff's like, I remember that. I'm like, thank you, Tiff. I'm not the only one. By the way, everyone, Tiff is our moderator. Also, not only is she our friend, she helps moderate our awesome Scooby-Doo and Meddling Kids podcast discussion group. And thank you so much, Tiff. We love you. You are awesome.
We do. She also moderates the Is This Adulting Best Friends group. I don't know how she does both, but you're wonderful.
Okay, so are we done talking about Goonies, or do you have anything else you would like to add to this discussion?
No, not really.
You seem done.
Again, I did not hate it. I expected to hate it.
I liked it way more than I thought I would, because when you were like, I've heard it doesn't hold up well, I was preparing to just be like, ugh, this is a slog. But I really, really liked it. It definitely made me laugh out loud.
No, I enjoyed it. It went on a little long.
Yeah.
But it was, no, it was fine. I liked it.
Okay, so there's a Goonies 2 that I've never seen, I'm not really that interested in. I might read the summary on Wikipedia. My only hope is that it's all about the chunk sloth love. You got to admit, that was pretty sweet, right? Sloth was like, Sloth, love Chunk. And Chunk was like, I love you too, Sloth. And you're going to live with me now. So, hey, Mom, Dad, I want to introduce you to Sloth. I love him. he is an adult man. He's the size of an NFL player. And he's going to live with us now, okay? He's used to being chained up, but I'm sure he'll be fine with a bedroom.
He eats candy. That's all we know.
Right? Baby Ruth. Mm-hmm. There was lots of product placement in this movie too.
Oh, definitely. I could go for some Baby Ruth right now.
Oh my gosh. So do you have leftover Halloween candy around there?
No, my wife took it to school to give to other teachers. I bet she just ate it. Selfish. She probably just ate it all.
Teachers, they get everything.
I know. All the money and the supplies. Recognition and and just apparently everyone thinks they get 2 months off paid vacation in the summer, which is not true.
And they get bathroom breaks whenever they want them.
Uh-huh. They definitely don't have to hold their pee for literally 8 hours a day.
Seriously, I am not. I'm shocked that teachers don't get urinary tract infections more.
I mean, it's my wife, small bladder, don't know how she does it.
Yeah. No, but I could not do it. It's amazing. So more power to you, Katie. Way to go on that bladder. I'm very impressed.
That is that's something that's I tell her every day. Way to go on that bladder, honey.
I probably crossed a line there. It occurred to me as I said that, but that's all right. I'm going to meet her in person next weekend, and then it won't be weird at all.
There's no line. There's no line.
Katie, I'm the lady who video chats with your husband and talks about your bladder. Hi!
That's me!
That's me!
Hi, hey! Yeah.
Okay, so we have some mail, and I'm going to refer to this as Snackgate, okay? Hashtag Snackgate. So, Steven, Katie, our devoted listener and friend and intrepid food reporter. She is, and this is Katie Clark I'm talking about. She actually tried the liver. Oh, man, did I lose you again?
You had lost me, so I went video, no video.
Okay, well, you're back now. Sorry about that. Okay, so she actually tried the pickles and ice cream before you did. Okay, here's what she says. Shaggy was always my favorite, so I did try a pickle on ice cream once because of him. It was all right. Emphasis is my own there. She just says, it was all right. It's all right. If you guys do liverwurst a la mode, I'm prepared to do it too. In fact, I'll even try ahead of time and give you a forewarning if you want. I think that'd be a hilarious and very appropriate way to celebrate finishing season one. So, ready when you are. Sincerely, Katie. And let me just say, Katie has way more chutzpah and bravery than I do. I just think she's incredible. do you want to hear her report on the sandwich?
Yes, because I called her out last episode. And I was like, hey, you got to do it.
I know. And, like, here's the thing. She actually did it before you did the second email. And so I'm sorry, Katie Clark. It's totally my fault that Stephen called you out. Snackgate is all about how Julie Kinn stinks. Okay. Intrepid food reporter Katie here. I did try the sandwich. You're welcome to share the pictures if you want a real liverwurst a la mode sandwich. Shaggy and Scooby ordered theirs with what I assumed was strawberry ice cream, but I'm a chocolate kind of gal. The sandwich was neither bad nor especially good. It just... ... was. Sorry.
That's an accurate description.
I know, here's what she goes on. It existed and was unique. Oh my gosh, Katie, I love you. Okay, I've never, to my knowledge, experienced a food where my taste buds refused to process all the flavors at the same time. The liverwurst and ice cream were oddly segregated in spite of my best efforts and kept alternating. Both tasted quite good. The ice cream was a little jarring, but also refreshingly cold. Regardless, I would say this was a win for Shaggy and his iron stomach, since both parts did technically taste good. It's just not something I'd seek out on a regular basis. But I'd pay $1.50 for it. So, as we recall, that's what Shaggy and Scooby paid. So
I went vanilla.
Yeah, you went vanilla, and you... Oh, and I think pickles and ice cream she's enjoyed, but just the liverwurst. So, yeah, I mean, chocolate and liverwurst, maybe those are just so extremely different. Maybe she needs to try vanilla next?
I mean, I'm not really... Needs. I don't stand behind anyone trying it ever. because it's not, again, not bad. Definitely not good.
Well, I want to report back on my weird snack experiment, which was taking those goldfish crackers and making Rice Krispie treats out of them. So I had a whole bunch of those flavor blasted goldfish and the rest of my marshmallows, and I followed the recipe, except instead of Rice Krispies, I used the goldfish, and I also added M&Ms for color, and because I had a bunch. And it was, to use a Katie-ism, it was okay. I think because the goldfish didn't like absorb the marshmallowiness the same way the marshmallows and butter the same way Rice Krispies do, that the flavor wasn't so great, but they looked really spectacular.
They
except
did.
Thank you. I only got to eat one, and I was gonna bring them to a party the next day. Guess what Olaf did?
Ate made them
me- He made me throw him out. He was like, what is this in the fridge? And I was like, don't touch it. It's the snack for my podcast. And he was like, really? Because I think he had like good leftovers that needed a place to live. And like, we don't have a very big fridge. It's like an old one. It's not one of those like proportioned ones. So like a good third of our fridge space was devoted to this weird snack that I was gonna foist onto party people. Not my own party, of course, someone else's, or I was just gonna drop them off and like pretend I didn't know where they came from. And so they ended up in the compost.
Well, here's where I think you went wrong.
All right,
you flavor blasted again. You gotta go with that good original cheddar. You gotta just stick with that. And two, the M&Ms for color, while I appreciate the aesthetic choice.
Yeah.
You can't overwhelm the goldfish saltiness and marshmallow sweetness with extra sweetness. Oh. And chocolate is just adding a whole nother flavor to it.
You know what? That's a really good point. It goes back to what Katie said before, that like my taste buds, sorry, Katie, I didn't mean to quote you weirdly. What did she say? That it was like just overwhelmed because the taste buds were like too much information.
They were processing flavors couldn't process flavors at the same time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's okay. So I think the Airbnb that we're staying at in Washington has an oven. So I'm going to need to re-experiment with this while we're in D.C.
Oh, my gosh. How far is your Airbnb from the DC Podfest?
I think it's like a 10-minute train ride.
Okay. So the hotel I'm staying at is 5 blocks away. I'm almost positive there's no oven in my hotel room.
You never know.
But you never know. There's definitely an iron there.
We can do it that way. There's a microwave probably. And an
yeah,
iron
maybe.
And a coffee pot. If
I
most hotels do that.
Yeah, I request a refrigerator if possible. Okay.
We can make this happen.
Oh, I can't wait to report back on DC Podfest, everybody.
It'll be something. We have to do a live show. It'll be something. We've never been in front of people. It'll be something.
Think about ways that I can support you from the audience.
Just yelling. No, that's not.
I mean, I will be laughing my head off, so there will be that.
That's good. Somebody's got to. It'll just be silence and then Julie.
No, not at all.
Everybody else is like, who are these goons and why did they get a live show?
No, not at all. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to see you guys live. I will say, though, that Olaf. Sorry, Jason, I almost said your real name. Olaf took a second city course when we lived back in Chicago, for which I'm still super jealous. And his class said that they liked when I was in the audience because I laughed really loud. But I can't help it. It's not fake. It's just I find you guys hilarious. Okay, well, anyway. So if you have a question for us, please email us at meddlingkidspod@gmail.com or just let us know your thoughts on Snackgate and snacks in general and Goonies and Scooby-Doo and everything. And I'm so excited for season two. But one other thing is that if you send us snail mail, you can get our address by clicking contact us at meddlingkidspod.com. I'm doing a thing for my other podcast where I'm writing letters every day. And so I'm looking for my people to write letters to. So if you send me mail, I will write you back with an actual letter and send you stuff too, like stickers or things. Or just random drawings my kids have done.
Will probably not.
Maybe not, yeah.
Because I'm bad at writing letters or doing anything right now.
You've got a lot going on.
Well, don't we all? Anyway, thanks so much for joining us on the Meddling Kids podcast for our discussion on not so much Scooby-Doo, but kind of.
Kind of tangential.
Yeah. And thanks also to Dave Seste for the use of the song Night Surfing as our theme music. And we never got back around to Stranger Things, even though we said would. Right. So, hey, go watch Stranger Things. It's good.
Yeah. And see if if you've not seen season one, check out Barb from season one. And I really do think that they modeled her exactly after Steph from Goonies.
Okay. I could see it.
That's my thought. Yeah. And if you Google Stranger Things Goonies similarities, you'll see a lot. I did Google Stranger Things Scooby-Doo similarities, and there is nothing there. So we are the first one, which you could take as a bad sign, or that we had an original thought, which is always exciting.
I think it's that, too.
And also check out our other podcast. Steven and Chris do Is This Adulting? If you're going to miss the live show in D.C., that's okay. You can just subscribe and listen at your own time, anytime, anywhere. It's a great show about two best friends navigating adulthood, and it's hilarious and destigmatizes mental health. And my brother and I do the Station Wagon podcast. Our most recent episode was about fried food and what happened when we tried to give it up. And I stopped eating Doritos for a while, and it sucked. Stink. And our next one, like I said, we're trying to write letters and stuff. And we'll be back next time with season two of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
It's happening. Season two is like 8 episodes long.
I know why. People will probably know, but I do not know why.
It's real short, but it has a song in every episode.
Oh, that was another similarity. So season one didn't have a lot of musical special guests, but, Goonies did, Cyndi Lauper, and Scooby-Doo starts to feature musicians too.
Yeah, we're heading in the direction of the Monkees television show where there's chase scenes set to music. So
I love it. I love the Monkees. Okay.
Oh, the Monkees are great.
I think that's it. I think we're done.
Are we done?
We're done.
I think we're done. All right. Well, that is going to do it for us here on the Meddling Kids podcast. And like I say every week, I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't do anything this week other than work and chaperone high schoolers. I was chaperoning high schoolers for literally 35 hours over the course of 2 days. So here's the deal. I didn't have time to watch any of y'all because I was watching them. Because high schoolers are real intense about like being wild and running around. They got the PDA going. So I've got to I'm always constantly just like, I need a spray bottle to just be like, no.
Like, a no-no can.
No. So, honestly, this week you may have gotten away with some stuff, but the big stuff you would have gotten away with if it weren't for us meddling kids.
Beware of fool's gold.
Was it fool's gold?
I don't know. They never actually said that, but I think that was kind of like, the final booby trap of the gold. And I don't know.
Can we talk about how, gold. And he's like, no, that's for Willie. Don't take it.
I know, like, what? Yeah, there anyway, was a bunch.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a weird movie, like, guys.
It was a weird movie. There was a lot of untied ends, which is maybe why they needed a Goonies, too. And, like, the assumption of, oh, well, I guess all the gold is gone because the ship, like, cast off. No, go back. It's worth a dive.
Yeah, you can go with it. The ship is kind of, I mean, it's there. You could still catch it.
Yeah, oh, and totally. Tons of jewels and things had fallen into the cavern. Anyway, it's probably condemned now, thanks to those meddling kids.
Bringing it back.
Yeah, see? It's all related. Totally not me grasping at straws. Nope. I'll see you next weekend.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.